Good morning. And a warm welcome to Christchurch Edinburgh on this Lord's Day morning. If you're visiting with us, we warmly welcome you and invite you to stay behind at the close where there's tea and coffee will be served. A number of notices this morning. Most of them are on the notice sheet, but I want to highlight one or two and maybe just add one or two as well. We meet this evening at 6 o'clock for evening worship as we conclude a short series in the letter of 1 Peter. During the week, the prayer meeting is on Wednesday here in the hall at 7:30. And on Friday, there's the funeral service for Christine Brown at Seafield Crematorium, and that's at 2 o'clock. Next Sunday services are at the usual times of 11 and 6. At the back of the church, there are Free Church Records magazine. For those who take that, please collect that at the back. Also at the back, there's a list to do with the Christmas party that will take place on the afternoon of Saturday, the 22nd of December. And it'd be helpful for us if you were able to contribute in some way by bringing something along. There's a list there. And also, it would be very helpful if you let us know if you're coming or not, because that helps with catering arrangements. So if you can have a look at that sheet and append your name appropriately, that would be fantastic. Just a couple of other things, just to say that a big thanks to everyone who supported the curry night on Thursday. I think we had over 50 folks here in the hall on Thursday night. And a big thanks to everyone who were involved in that, inviting friends, coming along, providing sweets and all sorts of things that people were doing. So a big thanks to everyone for that. Now, some people will know that John Bruce's son, John's not here. He's way back down in London. John Bruce's son, Rory, had a cardiac arrest, a cardiac episode this past week. He's in his early 40s. That has been attended to. He's had, a stent put in, and I think he's recovering well. And so John is very glad of those who were upholding the family in prayer, and we will continue to do so in the days that lie ahead. Now, obviously, at this time of year, we often go round the local area handing out leaflets, advertising services, and I'm going to invite Lynn to come forward, and she's going to tell us a little bit about that. And I'm going to get out of the road. So here's the.
Okay. Well. Good morning. At the back of the church, there's also another sign-up sheet. So try not to get this one mixed up with the other one, because we don't want to be writing down what we're going to bake to take round the doors in Craig and Henning. So this is for the sweets that we give out literature to at Christmas. It's just the usual sign-up sheet. It's got the name of all the roads, the 10 roads that we go around, and it's got the numbers of the doors, whether that's in flats or houses or bungalows. It's the number of doors that you have to give leaflets into. So as before, just really like to encourage people to take part in that. We're very grateful to those who do take part, but we always do need people, and we usually need slightly more than we have, because some people take out two loads around the doors, which is great, and we're really grateful for that. But it's just helpful for a church fellowship as well, for as many people to be involved as possible. So what we're giving out, as usual, is the invitation to the various services, the various meetings in church. And if it were possible for those that are going to take part to take them out this week, it would be better, but the next week is also fine if you can't manage this week. The only reason this week would be slightly better is that the first sort of meeting that's advertised on the back is next Sunday's carol service. So, you know, if we're giving them out the following week, people are missing the opportunity to know about that. But either this week or next week's great. So the invitation will be in the pack. There's a little tract called Whiter Than Snow. So that's the one that we're hoping to give into every door. And as usual, we'd really like to ask people, try and knock on the door. It doesn't mean you have to have a lengthy conversation with people, but it's helpful for people to put a face to the stuff that comes through the door. So much rubbish comes through doors at Christmas. People are maybe slightly more likely to read something if a person actually smiles, says who they are, says where they're from, and gives it to them. And also, it's good just for the profile of the church. People come and visit. People seem to take a long time to come and visit, maybe after many pieces of literature have been put through their door. So it's always a worthwhile process, even if you don't get anybody in, even if nobody does come to the door. We just ask if you could knock first, just in case someone's in and comes to the door. But if no one does come, then just put it through the door. There's also a booklet. Now there's packs at the back on the table made up for each street. The streets with more houses have three books in them. Most have two, some just have one. But it's just, if you were to get into a longer conversation with someone at the door, it can be helpful to give them something extra to have a look at. And this is called, Are You Ready for Christmas? Something we hear so many people saying at this time of year, because we never feel ready for Christmas. But it moves quickly to being truly ready for Christmas, and how God at first Christmas was getting the world ready for his son coming. And then the question, are we ready for the true meaning of Christmas? Are we ready to understand where the Lord Jesus Christ being born and what that means for us? So it's just helpful to have those. But if you go around your street and you don't get a chance to give one to anyone, just put the ones in your pack, just put them through somebody's door, or just give them to somebody anyway, even if you only have a short conversation. God knows who might need it, who might read it. So although, you know, we want them to be used, we don't want them to be wasted, but we don't want them just to be sitting in a pile after Christmas is over. So use them, even if you don't get somebody to speak to. But the last thing is, we ordered extra on purpose. So if anybody in church would like one yourself, or would like one for a neighbour, or friends, or family, or colleagues at work, you know, they're handy to have with you, even just to have one or two, in case you get into conversation with someone. So please feel free to help yourself at the back. Again, we don't want somebody to take all of them, but we do want them to be used. So if you really feel you can use them, take several. And if you think you can take loads, take a couple at the start, wait to the end of the service if there's several still there. Take the ones you think you really will need. So, but it'd be great to have people involved, and if you can sign up, and if you can try and make sure you sign up for the right sheet. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Let me read some verses, just a verse from Matthew's Gospel. We're in verse 23. We read these famous words. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, we're going to open our service by singing a great Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. And we'll stand to sing this together.
Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Emmanuel.
Together in prayer. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that great title that he was given of Emmanuel, God with us. How we thank you that he has come to be with us in the midst of our broken and fallen world. How we thank you that he plumbed the very depths of the human condition and was clothed in our own flesh and blood. Not simply to experience our life, but actually to redeem us. We thank you that the Lord Jesus brings us hope. Hope of a better world. Indeed, of a new heaven and earth in which righteousness dwells. We thank you that in Jesus Christ there is hope for sinful men and women. We thank you that there is hope in the face of illness and suffering. We thank you that in Jesus there's hope even in the face of death. We thank you that there is the hope of eternal life in him. We thank you for the way that he brings into his people's lives freedom from the chains of sin, freedom from the guilt and shame that so often dogs our experience. We thank you that in Jesus there is forgiveness full and free through his shed blood upon the cross of Calvary. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is not simply God with us, but in a sense he is God for us. For us in our brokenness and sin and fear and failure. We thank you that it's through union with Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ, that we become part of your family, sons and daughters of the living God. Lord, help us, all of us, today, to know what it is to put our faith and trust wholly and completely in Jesus Christ, and to know what it is to have God with us. Lord, be with us this morning. Bless us, encourage us, lead us, guide us, direct us by your Holy Spirit and for your glory. We gather as many of us as followers of Jesus Christ. And so we pray together in those words that Jesus taught his first followers to pray. Praying,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Excuse me a wee second. Now, good morning, boys and girls. Okay, it's going to be like that. I was hearing that someone has a birthday very, very soon. Oh, I wonder who that could be. Any clue? Anybody going to tell me who it is? Who is it? Who's got the birthday tomorrow? It's Eddie. Yes, well, that looks fantastic. I've got a story for you about when I was young and it was my brother's birthday. I've got three younger brothers. Well, there was only three of us at this time. The fourth one came along later. But anyway, it was my brother's birthday and he got lots of presents. Really nice. But one of the things he got, well, this is not exactly what he got, but it's something like this, just to give you a clue. He got, it was a big bag of sweeties. You like sweeties? Everybody like sweeties here, yeah. Well, he got a big bag of sweeties. It was bigger than this. And I liked those sweeties that he had. I really liked them. And it was a bag. And anyway, the long story short was I said, "Oh, you're going to give me a sweetie?" "Yes." I said, "Yes, I'll give you one later," he said. I said, "Oh, that's good, right? I said, "Do you promise?" He said, "I promise I'll give you a sweetie later." And so the rest of the day went on. I kept looking for the sweetie. "You're going to give me the sweetie?" "Yes, yes, I promise I'll give you the sweetie. Yes, yes, I promise I would give you the sweetie." Until eventually I said, "Now, can I get the sweetie?" He said, "Look, I'm really sorry. I've eaten all the sweeties. And there are none left." And he showed me the empty bag. How do you think I felt? Do you think I was happy? No, I was not happy. I was not a happy bunny. I was very angry. And I was jumping about and doing all sorts of things. It wasn't very nice, so I'm not going to go there. Because I didn't get my sweetie. He promised me, but he didn't keep his promise. He enjoyed those sweeties so much. You know how sometimes you have one? You know this? And then you've got to have another. And then you've got to have another. And then another. And sometimes you just can't stop. You can't help yourself. Stuff the whole face with all the sweeties, and I got none. Oh, very sad. Very sad. But I'm getting over it. I've had counselling. I'm still going for counselling for that experience. It probably explains a lot about me anyway. We live in a world where people break their promises. Sometimes they promise us something, and then things happen, and they don't deliver on the promise. Sometimes boys and girls promise mum and dad, I promise I will clean my room. I will tidy it up. I promise. Oh, that's a broken promise. Because then mum and dad go into the room, and it's like a bomb site. It's never been done. Or sometimes mum and dad make promises, and they say, "Well, I promise I'll take you to so and so and so and so place." I can't manage that. And they break their promises. We live in a world of broken promises. And as human beings, we all at times make promises and break promises. There's only one person who doesn't break his promise. And that's God. In the Bible, there are thousands of promises from God. And he keeps and has kept every single one. And all those promises focus on Jesus. They focus on Jesus. And at this time of year, we think about the birth of Jesus. His coming into the world. And that came as the fulfillment of a promise that God had made. Actually, all the way back at the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis to Adam and Eve, to Eve. And all through the Old Testament, we read about that promise. And then it's fulfilled. Many of those promises were fulfilled when Jesus came. And we can rely and trust and utterly depend on God because he always keeps his promises. We'll make promises and we'll break promises, like my little brother, who I'm getting over. But God always keeps his promises. And we can always trust him. And we can rely of what he says in his word. Let's pray together. God our Father, we recognize that we live in a world where things do not work out properly, where things fail, promises fail, things are said, not fulfilled, where there's hurt and pain, sometimes anger. Father, we thank you that you're the God who makes promises and who always keeps his promises. And we thank you that all your promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Help us to trust you and to rely upon you and to depend upon you and upon your word every single day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing together about the promises of God's word in the hymn From the Breaking of the Dawn. And we'll stand to sing this together. Taken from the Old and New Testaments. In the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, reading the first seven verses, that's page 573 in the Church Bible, 573. Read from verse 1 of the chapter to verse 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And then in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, we're reading in Luke chapter 2 from verses 8 to 21, and that's on page 857. Of the Church Bible. Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Amen. And may God bless to us these readings from his word. A little later on the service, Ray will be bringing God's word to us. We're going to remain seated. We're going to sing "There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son." And as we remain seated, our offering will be received. Thank you that you are the God who calls his people out of darkness into his glorious light. We thank you that you call us so that we will declare your praises and honour you and bring glory to your great name. We thank you that you call us to yourself in Jesus Christ, that you call us into fellowship, into communion, into a relationship with you. And we ask that you would help us to enjoy that relationship each and every day. Help us to confess our sins as we come before you and to speak to you. We thank you that there is forgiveness, full and free, in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to follow you every day, to follow you in the things that we say and do, to follow you in the things that we do not do. Lord, help us to put you first. Enable us by your Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us, because we need your help. Lord, help us to be a people who are not afraid to go and to tell others and to speak to others of the good news of Jesus Christ. Give us a confidence and a boldness and a courage, not in ourselves, in our own abilities, but in you and in your power and in the power of the gospel. We pray for the leaflets that will go out over this Christmas season in the community here. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be faithful in speaking to others and in pointing others to Jesus Christ. Lord, may you touch many of our hearts, and may you give us the courage to go out and to speak to others and to hand out leaflets and to point others, not to ourselves, not ultimately even to this church, but to the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for Rory Bruce down in London. We thank you for his recovery from this cardiac episode. We do pray for him that he would continue to be restored and renewed physically and spiritually. We pray that you'd be with his family and that they would know your presence in a very special way at this time. Be with John as well as he seeks to support and to help, and grant him all wisdom and grant him the strength that he needs. Be with us this week as we gather to remember Christine on Friday and to celebrate her life. Lord, again, we thank you for her and for the very special person she was. We thank you for the way that her life touched so many of us here. And we thank you for the encouragement she was. Lord, we recognize you're the one who brought her here. You're the one who brought her into our lives. And we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for the services over the Christmas period. We pray that you would be pleased to bless us, and that you be pleased to bless us with your presence and indeed with the presence of others who are visiting amongst us. Lord, be with Ray as he brings your word to us this morning. Speak through him and through the words that you have given to him. May you bless him so that he in turn would be a blessing to us. Lord, we look to you and we give you our thanks and praise. And we do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing again, this time before Ray comes to bring God's word to us. And we're going to sing to God new songs of worship. All his deeds are marvelous. We'll sing the psalm and we'll stand to do so.
Thank you.
You may have seen the record this month. Actually, I had a jumper that looked very similar to this. I'm glad I didn't wear it this morning. Because my sermon title is very similar to what's on the front of this month's record. Jesus is the reason for the season is my sermon title this morning. Just to let you know, I didn't have a glimpse of this beforehand. And so it's God's providence. Up there at the seminary on the mound where I study, we have a unique vantage point, especially up there on the fifth floor, where we enjoy some fabulous panoramic vistas over the city of Edinburgh. And it's a privileged view that not everyone enjoys. It's a perspective that others don't get, even when they pay to go on the big wheel in Princess Street. And in the same way, our text this morning reveals that we have a unique vantage point in history. This morning, our unique vantage point in history affords us a focus on the big picture of God's plan of salvation. In the text that David read for us in Isaiah 9, in verses 6 and 7, we find God telling his people through the prophet that one day he will send to them a saviour. When he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That was the prophecy. And for Isaiah, and for God's people in his time, this was a promise that they would never live to see. We, however, have the privilege of living after the promised King and Messiah has come. The overarching theme in the first 37 chapters of the book of Isaiah is the theme of kingship and of the King. Sometimes you'll find that this relates to the Lord, to God himself. Sometimes it relates to the actual king who is ruling over the house of David. And sometimes it's about the king who is to come. And this theme is seen throughout Scripture. It's seen in Revelation 4:8, for example, where it speaks in terms of the God who was and the God who is. And the God who is to come. And so it's on this theme that our three points will hang this morning. It will be the King who was, the King who is, and the King who is to come. And so firstly, the King who was. We have the unique privilege of being in possession of the convincing eyewitnesses' account of Isaiah's prophecy actually happening. Any one of us can look all the way back to the origins of mankind and witness the King of Creation's faithfulness throughout all history. We need only pick up our Bibles and we can witness for ourselves as if we were there in the flesh. We can see God's faithfulness to his promises, and we can see his plan of salvation unfolding in real people's lives. Isaiah, along with many, many generations of God's people, never had the privilege of seeing the promised Messiah, because Jesus was born some 700 years after God spoke through the prophet. In fact, those years between the time of Isaiah's prophecy concerning the child to be born and his actual birth were arguably some of the hardest years for God's people. You see, when God's people lost sight of their true king, who was God himself, they lost their first love. And as a consequence, they spent some 400 years in Babylonian captivity, followed by countless years scattered in away from their homeland in what's called the Jewish diaspora. And as if to cap it all off, there were centuries of silence from God, with no prophets from God to lead, to guide, or to intercede for God's people. Friends, losing sight of God's promised Saviour held scary consequences for his people, both then and now. And that's why it's so important that we understand the privilege we enjoy at this time in history. It's essential that we don't just take for granted the privilege of being able to have Bibles and preachers to teach us the prophecies being fulfilled concerning the birth of Jesus. Poor old Isaiah, he never enjoyed the blessings we have. He never enjoyed the blessings that Simeon had when he said in Luke chapter 2 and verse 29, "Lord, you are letting your servant depart and die in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Friends, we all enjoy the privilege of looking through the eyes of those who were there, who saw Jesus in the flesh. We enjoy the privilege that countless generations of God's people would have given their right arms for. We have the historical records of historians like Josephus, as well as the scriptural accounts of the birth of Jesus. And so, in concluding our first point, the king who was, we have the unique privilege of being in the possession of the convincing eyewitnesses' accounts of this prophecy actually happening. And that happened some 700 years after God promised it would happen. Because of the Bible accounts, we can see for ourselves that God has always been, and God has always been faithful. And we can see that our God always keeps his promises. God's promise of a Saviour shows of his love for the likes of us. It shows us how patient God is with us. Because even though God's people turned their hearts away from him, he sent his Saviour for us. Does this not inspire us to put our trust in God? For surely we can see that God is to be trusted, and we can put our faith in God's promises. Do you know why? Because he delivers on his promises in his good time, just as he always has. And so we recognise the unique privileged position we have in history, and our hearts are full of love and gratitude because of the love that God has lavished on us in sending his Son as our Saviour. Firstly, the King who was. Secondly, the King who is. Unlike Isaiah, we've lived after Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. And so we know who the Messiah is, and where and when he was born. if you like. We have the privilege of 2020 vision that comes with hindsight. However, did you know that we share the same faith and the same Saviour as Isaiah? And therefore Christians share the same eternal life benefits as Isaiah. The only difference being, Isaiah looked forward in faith to the birth of the Messiah to come, while we look back in faith to a time when the Messiah, who is, came. And so, our privileged position, our vantage point in history with our 2020 vision that hindsight gives us, with that we look back 2,000 years, back to the first century, through the eyes of the Gospel writer, Dr. Luke. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Luke 2, verse 10. This is what the word says. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." What's this good news of great joy that will be for all the people? It's the promise of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Coming into the world in the flesh. It's the birth of Jesus. Read on with me in chapter 2, and in verse 11 we find these words. "For unto us this day in the city of David, a Saviour who is the Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill amongst men." Isn't that a wonderful fulfillment of God's promise? When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." God is making his Son known to people. And he uses people to do it. Verse 16, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that they had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Imagine living through that and seeing that come to pass. At the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Friends, can we see here in Luke chapter 2 the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah in our reading? Can we see the prophecy of Micah 5:2, which foretells that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem? These prophecies are happening before the very eyes of these shepherds. Men who, incidentally, were not social elites. They weren't millionaires or royalty. They were people of no social significance. They were lowly, wee people. As you'll know, 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born, shepherds were what may be colloquially termed the plebs. The point being that Jesus wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born to kings and queens, and it wasn't to them that Jesus was revealed. Friends, it was to ordinary people of the world that God reached out on the first Christmas. I don't know about you, but I think that's absolutely wonderful news It's ordinary people everywhere who God is revealing the good news of joy. And it's this good news of joy that will bring glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill amongst men. It's here in Luke chapter 2 that we see the God and King who was has become the God and King who is. Jesus, the King of glory, is a baby born into the world. A world that will 33 years later despise, reject and torture him to death on a cross. But look, what happened when the King, when the God and King who was became the God and King who is? What happened? Men rejoiced with the angels of heaven. What did they rejoice at? At the fulfillment of the promises of God. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, these promises God had made 700 years earlier through the prophet. And here they are, coming true, and men and angels are rejoicing together. Ordinary men. Shepherds rejoiced at the birth of God's only begotten Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Saviour of the world. And so in concluding our second point, the King who is, let me ask you, do you recognise the unique privileged vantage point we have in history? When we look at the scriptures, we find the real origins of Christmas. We see the God who was Israel's true King becoming God among us, the servant King who came to serve and who came to save ordinary people. Do you know this servant King this morning? Have you experienced anything of this good news of great joy that will be to all people? Do you enjoy peace with God that only the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, can give through the forgiveness of your sins? As we approach Christmas this year, a time of sharing and caring, do you know what it is to share in the only true gift of God that is eternal life in Christ Jesus? It's my prayer that we may all know something of this for ourselves. That we may know something of the person of Isaiah, which Isaiah 9:6 describes as a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. Firstly, we have the loving, faithful God and King who was revealed in the Old Testament. Secondly, we have the promised King and servant King who was and who is and who has come. And he's revealed in the flesh in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And thirdly and finally here, we have the God and King of glory who is to come. Isaiah 9 verse 7 speaks in these terms. He says, of the increase of his government and of the peace there is no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And God says he'll do it with the zeal, his zeal, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. In our 21st century world, it's all too easy to lose our sense of perspective. It's when we're waiting for the King of glory to come back again, sometimes we get impatient. We lose our perspective, especially when we see Christmas, the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, being hijacked by secular consumerism. Personally, I find it amusing when the secular world tries to take Christ out of the word Christmas and instead they put a cross in the place of Christ's name. Do they not know that the cross is the centre of every Christian's life? Even when they try to avoid Christ, they can't avoid the cross. And using the word Xmas, secularists put the cross of Christ at the front of Christmas's celebrations. It's because of the cross that one day final judgment will come. And on that day, every knee will bow to Jesus, to the glory of God the Father. That day, as we know, will follow the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so in reading Isaiah, we see that the King of Glory's kingdom will never end. And that's because Jesus isn't dead. He's risen and ascended. He's seated at the right hand of God, and he's ruling and reigning right now in real time. And the increase of his government and of his power, there will be no end. Jesus, friends, is on the throne of David, ruling over his kingdom. He has established it, and he will uphold it with justice and with righteousness. Jesus always has, and he always will, from this time forth and forevermore. Just because Jesus is not walking with us in the flesh at the moment, friends, that doesn't mean that he's not ruling and reigning and in sovereign control of all things, because he absolutely is. When it comes to waiting patiently for the second coming of Christ, friends, let's not make the mistake that God's people made in the time of Isaiah, when they took their eyes off the horizon and stopped looking for God's promised Messiah to come. Friends, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's what 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us. And in Isaiah's time, they waited 700 years for God's promised Saviour, spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, to arrive. We've been waiting 2,000 years for the promise of the second coming of Jesus to happen. And one thing I know in this life for sure is that people are the same the world over. We all have the same corrupt, sinful, fallen nature that we've inherited from our forefather Adam. And so we need to be aware that those who came before us in the Jewish diaspora lost their way. And they lost their way when they lost sight of God's promises concerning the Saviour to come. I want to say to you, of course, Jesus has come in the flesh. Of course, his work of salvation on the cross has been completed and is fully operational. But the good news is this: there's more to come. There's people caught up in sin that God is patiently calling to himself, friend. And that's why we join the shepherds who went about telling everyone about the news of the Saviour. We need to be careful that we don't lose sight of the second coming of Jesus, the God and King who was and is to come. In conclusion, we've seen Isaiah's promise of a Saviour being fulfilled in the virgin birth of Jesus in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And we live in a time when we're awaiting the fulfilment of all Scripture, the long anticipated return of Jesus Christ. As Isaiah 9:7 tells us, the increase of his government and of the peace, there will be no end. And so, when we look at the first Christmas celebration in the biblical record, we see God's promise coming to pass. We see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Christmas, then, is the Christian's opportunity to celebrate God's faithful promise to give this world a saviour. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And friends, like every family in the world, we rejoice with when any child is born. I want to ask you, how much more then should we, the family of God, rejoice at the birth of Christ? And we rejoice because it's through this very child born of a virgin, born in a stable and sleeping in a cattle trough. It's because of him that we ourselves have become children of God. Christmas is a Christian's opportunity to rejoice from the rooftops and to proclaim in the streets what God has done for us by sending his son into the world as a fully human baby. That's what the first Christmas tells us. That's what the shepherds did in Luke chapter 2 and verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Friends, if it's good enough for the angels of heaven to celebrate the Saviour of the world's birth, then it's good enough for us to rejoice too. Especially given that the time, the place and the nature of Jesus' birth is all God's idea in the first place. This year, I'm praying we're joining with the angels of heaven and celebrating the birth of God's only begotten Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Saviour of the world. And it's my greatest desire that we join with the angels in heaven who rejoice over every single sinner who turns to God in repentance and trusts Jesus Christ in faith for the forgiveness of their sins. This Christmas, we're celebrating the fulfillment of all God's plans to reconcile sinners to himself. We're celebrating the birth of his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're celebrating God's plan of salvation coming into the world. And we're celebrating the fact that God always keeps his promises. Friends, if you're anything like me this morning, you'll be looking forward to the day when Jesus comes back to take us to be with him as God has promised in the scriptures. This Christmas, this year, I'm looking at Christmas from a whole new perspective. Let's pray. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we are so conscious of your goodness to us that you would send your Son into the world, that you would encourage your people by telling us where to look, how he would come, what he would be called, where he would be born. What a wonderful, loving, gracious, kind God you are. We deserve nothing, and in everything you have given us, Jesus Christ, we thank you from hearts full of gratitude in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. In closing our service this morning, will you join me in standing as we worship God in singing, Hark, the herald angels sing, Glory to the newborn King. Let's stand and worship God together.
Joy.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.